Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 1043 The Fan. Let's go right back to the phones. And joining us from Colorado Parks and Wildlife is Troy Aznikar. And good morning, Troy.
It's Tyler, Terry, but good morning to you as well.
I called you Troy, and it's Tyler. I realized that as soon as I said it. I was worried about pronouncing your last name, and I screwed up your first name.
Hey, but you did great on the last name, so we'll split the difference.
All right, that's what, you know, being live radio, and I knew it was Tyler. Anyway, my mind wanders. We're going to talk about some interesting things, and that's game interaction, but not necessarily out in the field where you run into people, run into animals as you're hiking and camping and things, but what happens at your home and where you live. And a couple of things I want to just lay out there is maybe a little bit to introduce the subject. Number one is, we're home a lot, so we're seeing things more right now than maybe we when we were gone at work and gone on vacation, and more things are becoming visible to us. You know, and we've expanded a lot where we've developed into areas that have been naturally inhabited by wild animals. So the encounters increase because of both of those, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly right, Terry. Twofold with the urbanization, especially here on the Front Range, we see a lot of it. High demand for housing, people pushing into new areas, stuff that was maybe, you know, open space or ag before is now a new housing development. A lot of the animals that were there before aren't really going anywhere. They're just adapting to, you know, their new habitat. Went from, you know, open pasture to now we've got a development, nice green lawns, golf courses, whatever they find themselves in. You may not see them as much, but they're definitely still there. Now, like you said, with folks being home a lot more with the stay-at-home order, a little bit more time spent looking out the window, especially this last couple storms we had before the weather got nice. That kind of kept people inside going a little stir-crazy, but lots more wildlife sightings, it seems. You're not on your regular daily routine of getting out the door and going to work. You have more time. And so sightings have definitely gone up, it seems, here in recent weeks.
Well, one animal that I think people don't understand how plentiful they are. And they're, I don't want to say this in an alarming way because I don't think there's any huge danger. But one animal that's getting sighted more is mountain lions. And
right.
Mountain lions are typically very stealthy creatures. And you and I have talked in the past, and I attribute this to a couple of things. One, what we just talked about, people being home. The other thing I attribute a lot of it to is I think these Ring doorbells are almost like game cameras now. We're starting to see things that we never knew went through our yards every night before. Now we have video of them. But mountain lions, actually, people probably aren't aware about the number of mountain lions there are in Colorado, are they?
No, we definitely have pretty healthy mountain lion populations. Where I work on the day-to-days in and around the Boulder area, and folks, especially this time of year, over the winter months into the spring, as the deer push down to lower elevations on their winter range, the mountain lions follow. Now in Boulder, we've got some deer that never really leave town, and so they've always got that food source. But sightings definitely go up during these times, and from here through the summer, they kind of lessen again. Right now, we've got a couple cats in town that have been seen a little bit more often than others, but definitely not more so than events in the past. We've done some studies. I'll do a pitch for Matt Aldridge. He conducted a study. He's a CPW researcher several years ago. He put a bunch of GPS collars out, and it was kind of shocking to see how much time these cats actually spend, you know, inside city limits. Now, it's not all day every day. They come in, you know, early in the morning or late at night. They do their hunting, and then they're gone again by the time the sun comes up. But definitely more than people realize.
Well, I think you're totally. And again, I don't want to be alarming because a mountain lion attack is very rare. Doesn't mean you should encourage one to be in your area or that you shouldn't watch out for pets and children and things like that. But they've been there. They've probably been there. And what do you think about my theory that a lot of these video doorbells are starting to act like game cams? I can tell you, I live close to the foothills, but in a developed area, and I had one week where I had a number of raccoons, I had a fox, I have squirrels all the time, I had I just rabbits, just the number of, I think there's a lot of animals that go through people's yards at night that they're just starting to, wow, look at this.
Definitely. I mean, and there's a ton, and the average sighting that is reported to us isn't, you know, I was out, you know, running, jogging, you know, driving around, whatever, and saw XYZ animal. It's, hey, I looked at my notifications on my Ring or my Nest and look at this cool video, and then they email it to us. By and far, that's the majority of them. And so I think that attributes a lot more of people realizing how much wildlife is active in their area. They may not get to witness it firsthand, but they're getting to see it, you know, as it crosses their front porch. Or I've seen a commercial recently where a bear is actually stealing a package, you know, an Amazon Prime or something off of somebody's porch. So it's definitely changed the game a little bit as far as wildlife sightings have gone.
Well, I want to move on to bears. And before we do, I think probably the biggest message with mountain lions is don't do anything to attract deer. It's illegal anyway, because if you attract deer, you're going to attract mountain lions, right?
Exactly.
Now, we have a very robust bear population in Colorado. I don't mean that as a negative. We have a great, healthy bear population, and they tend to get conditioned to people probably a little more than they should. Now, normally they're a timid animal, but boy, they eat a lot and they're looking for food. What's going on with the bear population and people right now?
So yeah, kind of that same concept, Terry, is folks are, you know, pushing more to the foothills, especially we get these mountain subdivisions. But even, you know, on the Front Range here, Boulder, Fort Collins, et cetera, you know, bears are super intelligent animals and they think with their stomach. So any way they can figure out how to keep their bellies full, they're going to do it. They're a quick study. And once they find a food source, they're going to keep coming back as long as it's still available. And so that's where it's on people. And that's not whether you live out there, if you recreate in bear habitat, it's on folks to make sure they're doing their part to keep these animals wild and not introducing these human-derived food sources, whether that's, you know, garbage, whether you're leaving barbecues uncleaned and out on the deck, or, you know, in your campground. Bird feeders are a huge one, whether that's bird seed, whether that's hummingbird feeders, all the above. Anything and everything they can get into, they will.
Well, one of the things with bears, I think, that you have to be aware of is that when we talk about what's bear habitat, bears are continually sighted in urban areas because they get attracted deeper and deeper. They get conditioned to find food, like you mentioned, dog food, bird feeders. And people don't realize that it only takes one or two houses in a neighborhood, and you keep bringing these further and further in. I mean, bears can smell food, what, 3 to 5 miles away?
Yeah, with right wind conditions, a bear can smell food up to 5 miles away, which, you know, if you're think you're out camping in the middle of nowhere, you're by yourself in the wilderness and there's not a soul around. I mean, there can be several bears, even if they're not within hearing range, they can definitely smell you. So taking, you know, time to make sure that you're cleaning up anything that could attract them. And that's not just what we would be able to smell as food, you know, things like bubble gum and toothpaste and things of that nature, that can serve as an attractant. It smells like something they might be able to eat. They're going to want to investigate. And in those instances where they do find something they can eat, then we've got that learned behavior and we kind of spiral down from there.
And bird feeders, it's best to put especially the seed feeders up in the winter when the birds need that seed. And I think you told me that a tube feeder can have like 12,000 calories. Well, they can't just get that foraging very easily. So if they find bird feeders, they'll keep coming back, won't they?
Yeah, it's the same thing. If you had to go out and, you know, find all your food for, you know, lunch and dinner today, Terry, and just go out in the wild, find mushrooms and berries and grass shoots and that sort of thing, as far as calories go, you're probably going to spend a lot more than you're going to get back in return. As where if you can do a one-stop shop at, you know, a fast food restaurant and get a burger, you're going to do that every time. And that's the same with the bear. If he can go to the same backyard and somebody keeps filling up their bird feeder and they don't see the bear and can't figure out why all the bird seed's gone. Like I said, they're calorie derived. They're thinking with their stomachs. And so a Big Mac's a lot better than a salad bar for us and for a bear.
And I think the worst thing, Tyler, is that when they find these food sources, bears become conditioned to associating people with food. And that's when we find tragedy for either the bear or even sometimes the people.
Yeah, and it's a tough situation, and we get put in the middle of it. I mean, people love seeing bears. Like you say, we have a healthy bear population. That's why people live in Colorado. We like seeing wildlife. And bears have been more rare to see in the past. They're healthy and doing well now, so folks are seeing them. But when they do see them and something like that happens, let's say, you know, I've got a bird feeder in my backyard and a bear gets into it. Well, I don't necessarily want to report that because I don't want anything to happen to the bear. I like seeing him. I want him to come back and maybe see him again. So it's that fine line of, you know, you want to do what's best for the bear, but then keep yourself and also your neighbors and everybody around you safe. A big thing we have or encourage folks to do is to report these sightings to us, even if it seems pretty minuscule, even so far as just I saw a bear at this place and it seemed unusual. That's good information for us to have. Now, if it's getting into feeders, if it, you know, got into some dog food or it knocked over the grill, that's stuff we want to know as well so that we can try to take a more proactive stance as opposed to, well, it's been a month. He's been into my bird feeder 7 times and now my neighbor's bird feeders in their garage and trash and everything else. That's a much bigger problem for us to try to tackle. So the sooner we get this information, the more proactive we can be and the safer it's going to be for the bear and the folks around.
All right. We're out of time, Tyler, but great information. Is there a place on the website where they can find more?
Yes, sir. If you Google CPW, Colorado Parks and Wildlife will be the first one to pop up. There's a drop-down menu that's called Learning and then Things to Do, and it's Living with Wildlife. Or we also have a search bar at the top. You can just put Living with Wildlife in there, and that'll take you through bears, mountain lions, and every other critter you can come up with.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Always great information, especially in the spring when everything's getting active. We will keep that in mind, and hopefully people will enjoy the wildlife but do it safely. Thank you, Tyler.
Thanks, Terry.
All right. That was Tyler from Parks and Wildlife. We're going to take a quick time out. Chad LaChance is going to join us. We're going to talk about trout in our Front Range reservoirs right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.